We're about to enter the inner sanctum of the most esteemed New York Public Library, specifically the 53rd Street branch in Manhattan. Here we perform for you a redux of our strange and original tale, The Madam's Fancy. It was recorded live on March 9th, 2017. Do enjoy. Good evening, audio drama lovers and bibliophiles. If you consider yourself someone who identifies with both camps, well, you will feel very much at home here with us tonight. And where are we exactly? Well, we are coming to you live from the stupendously gorgeous and fabulous 53rd Street branch of the New York Public Library in glorious Midtown Manhattan. We are so very excited to be here for this special presentation of our show. Consider it a personal tour of some of our favorite pieces from previous performances. Original plays fashioned in the style and sensibility of old-time radio shows, along with a few surprises. Since it's Women's History Month, we thought that this would be a perfect opportunity to share a play of ours that honors an amazing and fascinating woman. Madame Tussaud is a name well known to millions, mainly because of the famous wax museums found around the globe that bear her name, including one right here in Times Square. But less famous is the story of her life and accomplishments as an artist and entrepreneur in her own right, which were enormous for a woman of her time. For further reading, try hunting down a copy of Madame Tussaud's Memoirs and Reminiscences of France. It's a fascinating document penned by the great lady herself. Published in 1838, it's a book that is surprisingly a bit hard to come by, with recent paperback editions selling for $60 or more online. Alas, you'd figure they'd at least sell it in the gift shops of her museums. But that being said, I'm confident that the staff here at the 53rd Street branch of the New York Public Library could help you track down a copy. Though much easier to find is the terrifically researched Madame Tussaud, A Life in Wax by Kate Berridge, published in 2009 by HarperCollins. Now, while our original radio play, The Madame's Fancy, does not purport to tell the whole story of Madame Tussaud and her colorful life and career, but it is an appealing little slice of life, a bit of a historical fiction that takes place in the 1840s, and is set inside her famous waxworks on Baker Street. They're about to close for the day, but I think if we make haste, we can still manage to sneak inside.
Today's receipts, ma mère. Not too bad at all, eh?
My bifocals, if you please, Fanny.
Here you are, madame.
Merci.
We most certainly benefited from the holiday weekend, mother.
Your waxworks are more popular than ever. The queues get longer all the time.
Oh.
What is it, mother?
And that large group of Estonian tourists. Can they continue to linger around the galleries? We're still trying to close for the evening. We had to stop them from trying to flirt with your Marie Antoinette.
Is there something wrong, mother?
Oh, what's the matter, madame?
Are you not happy with today's returns?
Francois, mon cher. You are my most beloved and cherished son. But as is frequently the case, your mathematics are not without fault.
These figures are most accurate, I assure you, mother.
Are they, my son? Did you remember to account for all of today's group discounts? For example, our Estonian guests over there who are still stroking the petticoat of poor Marie Antoinette. Estonian gentlemen, it is now closing hour.
Yes, mother.
I wonder, Fanny, what those gentlemen would think about that lovely gazelle if they knew that I sculpted that pale and pretty likeness from her severed head. The head I recovered after it had fallen from the guillotine.
Such a gruesome tale, m'lady.
Well, that gruesome tale helped my memoir sell quite well. Oh, dear Fanny, in telling my life story, I could not exclude the blood, the scandal, the beheadings of the revolution. But I hardly survived to tell the tale of it myself. Fanny, who is that man standing alone over there? Surely he knows it is time to close our exhibit.
Oh, that's Mr. Dickens, m'lady. He visits us quite often, always alone, often for many hours at a time.
Well, he has to go. Call there to him and tell him this.
Oh, but that's Mr. Dickens. Do you not realise who that is? He's a most popular and distinguished author.
Oh, famous, is he? Do you think perhaps I should sculpt his likeness for the exhibition?
That is a most marvellous idea. Look, here he comes.
Excuse me, sir. It is now 15:15 and time for everyone to leave. Come on, then. We open bright and early tomorrow.
Oh, my apologies, good sir. I'm sorry, I was just about...
Monsieur Dickens, is it? Please excuse my son's impatience.
Not at all. Yes, Charles Dickens is my name. Am I fortunate enough to be in the company of the Madame Tussaud?
Mr. Charles Dickens! I'm so sorry, sir, of course. I didn't recognise you from the...
I am Madame Marie Tussaud. I bid you welcome to my humble house of curios. I say, Charles Dickens, it is I who has the great fortune, the most famous and esteemed man of letters.
Oh, so you're familiar with my work?
Well...
Mr. Dickens, this is indeed an honour. Could you perhaps make an inscription on my volume of Oliver Twist?
I would be delighted.
Monsieur Dickens, this is my son, Francois.
Francis. Francis Tussaud, sir. Please call me Francis. What an honour to meet you, Mr. Dickens. Mother, do you realise I think that you're in Mr. Dickens' latest novel? Is it not true, sir?
You cause me to blush, Francis, my good sir. I'm afraid that the evidence may be stacked against me.
I am a character in one of your books. How did I not know this?
Well, maybe you are, Madame Tussaud. And perhaps you are not.
Oh, come now, Mr. Dickens. The character of Mrs. Jarley, the owner of the waxworks in the old curiosity shop, is obviously very much in the likeness of my mother.
If it pleases the court, I will neither confirm nor deny. Madame Tussaud.
Yes, my dear Monsieur Dickens.
I've always wondered.
Yes?
You offer a prize of £20 to anyone who can spend an entire night in your Chamber of Horrors. Is that really true?
Yes, that is true.
Well, has anyone ever? That is, has...
One person. Only one person so far has succeeded in this.
And so this person won the £20?
Yes. However, I had to send the cheque to the Bedlam Asylum, where he has taken up residence ever since that night.
Oh, you're pulling my leg, Madame Tussaud.
If it pleases the court, I can neither confirm nor deny.
Such a keen wit you have, Madame Tussaud. I apologize most sincerely for lingering here past the closing time. But please understand, it's only because I am such a great admirer of your waxworks.
Madame, Lord and Lady Westerly are here for their appointment with you.
Good evening, your lord and ladyship.
Good evening.
Is that... Mr. Dickens?
Ah, Lady Westerly.
Mr. Charles Dickens. Fancy meeting you here, good sir.
Mr. Dickens, did you ever have a chance to review that little pamphlet of sonnets I composed?
Ah, yes, I've been meaning to...
My wife's poetry is quickly becoming the talk of the town.
Such a coincidence running into you here, Mr. Dickens.
Not a coincidence, my dear. This is all part of that grand universal design we always speak of at our meetings. Would you happen to know your astrological sign by any chance, Mr. Dickens?
Oh, it's already 15:30. I really must be heading back home. Madame Tussaud, Francis, Lord and Lady Westerly, I bid you all a very good evening.
What a clever author he is, that Mr. Dickens. I tell you, if he keeps working at his craft, perhaps he'll write something truly memorable one day.
As you mentioned craft, my dear, that is precisely why we are here, Madame Tussaud. Precisely.
Lord and Lady Westerly, I am at your service. What may I do for you?
Where is that figure of yours? The one that breathes.
Ah, you mean the Sleeping Beauty. Come this way.
What is the secret?
How do you make this figure breathe in such a way that is so lifelike?
This is one of my earliest figures. I sculpted her, I think, when I was but 24. The illusion is quite simple, really.
Illusion?
Oui, madame. Oh, surely you don't think it is anything more than that.
Oh, well, it is quite all right to confide in us. We understand such things, and we know that you do as well.
Understand? What things?
We were close friends of the dear and departed Mr. Jeremy Bentham. Does that name ring a bell with you?
Oh, Mr. Bentham, how ghastly!
Shush, Fanny. And I might ask how you know of our association with Monsieur Bentham?
As I mentioned, we were close friends of his.
We all belonged to the same hermetic order.
And we were all passionately curious as to how you performed that miracle with Mr. Bentham.
Miracle? My lord and lady, I do not understand what you ask of me. Please believe me, I am no sorceress.
It was kept out of the papers, but they called on Madame privately to help repair the body of Mr. Bentham.
Monsieur Bentham, as you know, willed that after his death, his corpse be preserved and displayed in a glass case at London University for all to see. His body was dressed in his own clothes and then seated in a chair. They called on me to replace his head with a wax likeness, since the mummified head had taken on quite a gruesome appearance. My wax sculpture is a considerable improvement. I even used some of Monsieur Bentham's real hair. But that is all I did, I assure you.
Madame Tussaud, we want you to feel that you can trust us. Everything that we discuss during this visit will be kept in the strictest confidence.
Ever since you laid your handiwork upon Mr. Bentham's body, we have noticed some very significant changes.
Changes?
We have seen it with our own eyes. Mr. Bentham's chest now rises and falls with the breath of life, just as your Sleeping Beauty does.
I did no such thing to his body.
You deny it, then?
And you had nothing at all to do with the way its eyes now blink.
Or his foot taps.
Or how his hand lifts his cane.
I am certain there is an explanation for all of this, but please believe me, I did nothing of the sort to the corpse of Monsieur Bentham. Not to his eyes, his legs, his hands, nothing. It must be due to the morbid tampering of a mechanical engineer of some kind.
Do you not know that we have already considered that possibility? The body was re-examined, and nothing of the sort was found. Yet it continues to exhibit signs of life.
It is all right, Madame Tussaud. We understand your desire to maintain a certain modicum of secrecy. The greater world is not prepared for such things, but some of us are.
I suppose we should get more to the point, as they say, dearest. Madame Tussaud, when my wife and I pass on from this world, we have made issue jointly in our wills that our present bodies must be preserved much in the same manner that our friend Mr. Bentham's was preserved. And we insist that it must be you, madam, to oversee the process. We are prepared to pay very handsomely for the privilege.
Very handsomely?
To demonstrate to you the degree of our seriousness, consider this check a retainer for your services.
Oh, sacrebleu.
We will commission you to create our likenesses in wax. Not for public display, of course. And upon our passing...
You will do whatever it is you have done to prolong the life and spirit of Mr. Bentham.
Very well, my lord and lady. As you wish. Come to my studio next Monday, and I shall begin my work.
Splendid! There isn't a possibility that we could come to you any sooner than that, is there?
Perhaps. May I let you know tomorrow?
Certainly.
May I ask, is there a particular urgency in the matter, your lordship?
Well, my doctor is concerned about certain spells I've been suffering from. He fears that... pay it no mind. Next Monday we'll do fine.
Then we have an agreement.
Oui.
And we understand one another now, do we?
We do.
Outstanding. We shall see you next Monday, madam. Good evening.
Good evening, Madame Tussaud. Oh, and thank you.
Madam, are you really going to take their money just like that?
I do not see why I should not.
But what will happen when they find out that you cannot perform such magic?
They will already be dead. Oh, Fanny, but where is there any harm in the end, really? If it is their conviction and their belief...
And what do you make of the story about Mr. Jeremy Bentham? How his dead body comes to life? Do you believe that at all?
I'm not certain the inmates at Bedlam would even believe it. A postscript. Fact. The mummified corpse of Jeremy Bentham still sits in his chair and can be visited 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday to Friday at University College, London. As prescribed in his will, the corpse is sometimes brought out to the university board meetings, where he is accounted as present but not voting. Throughout the decades, many have sworn that the body of Mr. Bentham still stirs at odd moments. Fact, Madame Tussaud sculpted her own self-portrait in wax in 1842 at the age of 81, shortly before retiring and leaving her business to her son, Francois, or, as he preferred to be called, Francis. The self-portrait still stands at the museum on Baker Street in London, along with Madame Tussaud's original Sleeping Beauty figure, whose chest still heaves with the breath of life to this very day. It is the oldest surviving figure from the original collection.
I read a lot nowadays, much more than before you left me high and dry. In a loveless land with nothing but time on my hands. I read a lot, not just magazines, but other more serious things to get time to, whilst wondering how in the world to go on without you. Lonely isn't the word for me now. Thank you. have not, I'll reply. I read aloud.
And that concludes our program for this week. Frances Tussaud was played by Eric Davy Gislason. Fanny was played by Alison Gwynn. Charles Dickens was played by James Reeser. Lord Westerly was played by Michael Pate. Lady Westerly was played by Mary Murphy. And the part of Madame Molly Tussaud was played by me, Ali Silva. The Madam's Fancy was written by Sylvan Sandovar. The musical performance, I Read a Lot, written by Nick Lowe, was performed by Martina Da Silva, accompanied by Jason Yeager. Fireside Mystery Theater is produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our theme music is by Jason Graves. Our musical score is improvised by Steve Blanco. Our sound effects designer is Greg Russ. Our sound engineer is Wayne Silver. And our production coordinator is Dahlia Morali. Special thanks to Alexandra Kelly and all the amazing staff at the New York Public Library, 53rd Street, as well as Jeremy Helton and all our good friends at Audioboom for helping to make this event happen. If you like what we're doing, please take a moment to give us a rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us out, and your feedback means the world to us. And why not rock out a Fireside Mystery Theater t-shirt, hoodie, phone case, mug, notebook, sticker, or any of the other cool items adorned with our logo? Go to the merch page at firesidemysterytheater.com and check out what's on offer. You can also connect with us on Instagram or Twitter with our handle at Fireside Mystery. And hey, those of you in the New York City area, mark your calendars. Fireside Mystery Theater returns to the stage for a brand new season of thrilling and chilling original radio drama on Sunday, October 1st at 2 p.m. At the Bickford Theater at the Morris Museum in Morristown, New Jersey, we're bringing a show we call Sing the Old Alma Mater. Tickets are on sale now at morrismuseum.org. Next week, it was his job to search for the strangest facts known to man. But did Norbert Perlroth unearth a fact far too sinister to reveal? Find out by listening to next week's episode, Perlroth, available on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts can be found. This is your own Ali Silva. In case you doze off before you finish reading that book, I'll remind you to mind the shadows.